Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Hey guys and gals, welcome to the podcast. Are your wives still tuning in at this point? You know, that podcast has got out there. It's simmered a little bit. Is everybody's wives tuned out? I got a message. Some people aren't getting laid. Sorry about that.
Whoops.
Yeah. Oops.
That was not our intent.
Hey, don't blame us. Hey,
you knew what you were getting them into. No, but thank you for being here on the podcast. Real quick, starting it off right off the rip. As we're getting more into 2021, there's going to be, you know, some partner changes, which is awesome. Out for the good. Partner changes for the good. Really not changes, but additions.
Yep.
So I think as we roll in, you're going to see a sort of restructure how we do our partner ads on the show. We're going to try and mix it up so it's not so much on the front end, and we kind of either disperse them or alternate them so you guys don't get burnt out, but also can hopefully support the brands that support us, which I believe therefore supports people that listen to the show, because we're all kind of the same, cut from the same cloth.
Absolutely.
Guess, for lack of a better term. So first things first, we'll get into, we got a veteran shout out coming, but we want to announce now HHA, Operation HHA USA is now the, like the official partner with our veteran shout outs.
Yep.
So we're going to help promote Operation HHA USA, helps promote some of their archery shoots and events and stuff like that. As they grow, we hope to help out with that, and we hope to bring awareness to it. So it's cool that they're going to come in and basically support the shout out and everything like that. So it's really cool. Obviously, love working with HHA. That's awesome. And
supporting our veterans, too. That's the most important part here.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, going even deeper with Operation HHA and getting deeper within that HHA family, it just fits so perfect. So, bit awesome things that they're doing. We'll get into that more as we roll into the year, and we'll have Chris on and to talk about that in detail and some of the things they do and all that. So that's the first thing that we're really excited about coming into the new year. Also, The grind turkey calls, decoys, stuff like that. Primarily the decoys is our partnership there. Awesome turkey decoys. And that's something that we're going to get more into, you know, with Turkey Palooza kind of perked our interest. Eric isn't a turkey guy, but Doug definitely is. Out of the three of us here right now, Doug, Eric, and myself, you're probably the turkey connoisseur of the three of us.
I love turkey hunting.
So
he's like the expert over there.
Yeah.
We're just amateurs.
So you're going to tear that up. That's pretty cool.
I'm excited.
Check out thegrindoutdoors.com. And also another one we're really excited about, and I think this is going to change. I'll admit I laughed at this whole industry initially a few years ago, but after playing with some of these products and seeing how beneficial they can be, especially from public ground to Western hunts to maybe more fragile areas that you don't want to leave a scent trail through or anything like that. Or
I remember when we first seen them at ATA and we're like, what kind of gimmicky thing is this? It's not going to stay around long, but now they're actually, you can see the benefit of them.
Oh, 100%. Rogue Ridge e-bikes. So this is an awesome partner for us. We're really excited about it. I'm already thinking of ways that I'm going to make moves in on some whitetails this fall with this bike. And coming from like a BMX background, it kind of excites me that I can kind of, it's not BMX, but it kind of has a little flavor of that with like my number one passion of bow hunting.
Right, right. So, and you can use them all year long, you know, sneaking in, checking trail cameras.
Oh, yeah.
I just picture like me and Eric riding bikes, like, and then Curse is doing like ollies. Like,
ollies.
What's up, loser? Whatever you call them.
Bunny hops.
Bunny hops, whatever, losers. Later.
Later, dude.
Nerds.
Hitting jumps.
Yeah. They're.
Did they make a tandem one yet?
Double the horsepower. That'd be awesome. No, they have some really awesome stuff. We'll get deeper into that, and we plan on doing some deep dive episodes on, you know, utilizing e-bikes into your hunting setup and strategy and stuff like that. So we're excited about it. That's our update for now. Super thankful for those guys seeing something in us and supporting us. It's cool shit. Never thought it would happen, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's
with anybody.
Awesome.
But the podcast is presented by HHA Sports. Code WCB15. If you're wanting to jump into a single pin site, HHA obviously is what we recommend. They support our veterans. We covered this. Should know this. They're all sourced from pretty much Midwest materials for all their equipment. Mm-hmm. A lifetime warranty.
They're bulletproof.
They're bulletproof, and they offer sights for every shooter and rest.
Yep.
You can't go wrong. HHA is an incredible company. Also, Scent Crusher. Man, been using Scent Crusher for a long time now. Can't say enough about the gear bags, the roller bags, the closets, the rapid mobile shower. I mean, again, it's just one of those companies that if you need scent that needs killed or crushed, if you will, Scent Crusher's got your back on it.
Absolutely.
Leupold Optics, from performance eyewear to binos, we normally rock the 10x42s. Man, it's crazy to have to work with some of these brands.
Yeah.
You know, it's just pretty awesome. They see
especially Leupold. I've had quite a bit of messages lately. People are getting their stimulus check and Christmas
looking
money
around,
and stuff.
Looking around.
They're like, hey, I need some new binos. Which one are you guys running? So I'd send them a link to them. They're like, sweet, I'm going to order them tonight.
No, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's when we had Michael on from Leupold on the podcast, he's like, it prevents FOMO while you're hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Like fear of missing out. It really does. I just find it's just... you learn a lot more, you know what I mean? Or, like, you'd be surprised. You're looking out at something, you put your binos up, and it looks completely different than what you thought it was from the naked eye. Just that alone.
It's just crazy. Like, when I first started hunting, they'd be my backpack, and I'd pull them out if I needed them.
Like,
now.
last case.
Right. Yeah. Now they're in my harness, attached to me. They're, like, the first thing I put on.
I can't go in the woods without my bino harness on.
Dude, I'm the same way.
I feel naked without it. Like, I'm like, shit, what if you see a buck in the distance, you want to see what it is?
Right.
Like, I don't know how I'd never.
That would drive me
even
nuts.
For shed hunting. I mean, we use out of our shed hunting.
I don't want to say I've doubled my shed success with binos, but I would say it's close.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say it's really close. I found my biggest shed with a set of binos. Remember, it was back when we like first started the podcast. I had like a little viral video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Tip. Yep.
Yeah. I'll have to find that and dig that up and post a link. Also, Thermoseat, they have a code WCTS. For all of our listeners, and we have Thermoseats on workingclassbowhunter.com with our logo
just
on.
Just used one.
Especially late in the game here.
Yeah.
Victory Archery, we love our victories. Rip TKO, Extortion's in our crew. I think Chandler's shooting the traditional ones.
Yep.
I'm drawing a blank on the name. Gator Outdoors, the lifestyle brand out of, I guess they're out of Bellevue, Iowa. I've been plugging that. Yes. I might be wrong the Bellevue. Entire team.
You're right on that. Yep.
They've been great supporters of ours. They're a rapidly growing business from basically being a retailer selling all your brands but transferring into a lifestyle merch company pretty much, like a clothing company, if you will. So check out gatoroutdoors.com, WCB10, Elite Archery. Man, I'm excited for the new line of Elites. So
it's gonna be
Doug's, we're gonna get into Elite a little more. Doug's pick for this year is very intriguing.
Yeah. Doug's going crazy this year.
I'm going for all. Going flashy. For the W.
You're going Pit Viper of Elites.
Yeah.
You are for sure.
Hey, you got to be different. You
stand into that. WCB is the code at Elite. You can save some money on a bow and have it shipped to a local dealer. Loser.
Loser.
Big Time. Big Time. Also, man, they've all been good supporters, man.
Oh, yeah.
I keep saying that shit. But Big Time, new products coming out, new lines of food plot seed. We got to get an updated code. We got to get a hold of Joe and get a new code. It was WCB2020. It might still be active, but we'll get you guys updated with a new code.
They just launched their Platinum.
Platinum.
Yeah.
Deer feed, which goes on sale February 15th.
Excited to try that.
It's awesome for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Can't use it in Illinois.
Well, you could sit there and munch on it a little bit if you wanted to.
Get a lick on it a little bit.
It's not bad.
Get all my minerals and protein.
Eat it for lunch.
Yeah. And Old Barn Taxidermy, man. I had their barbecue. They're a taxidermy company, of course, but they also do processing now. Mm-hmm. And see, I'm so excited about this. I skipped past the whole taxidermy thing. Their honey barbecue deer sticks.
Dude, bomb.
It's .com. I'm gonna say it a little harsh. It's unfucking fair to everybody else in the processing game. I ate it first year in of processing, and I ate that, and I'm like, this is mind blowing.
Yeah,
it is so good.
It's I think it's the best deer stick I've had,
easily.
You guys are gonna have to let me try.
And everyone else,
it's like I haven't had it.
I brought them to Thanksgiving, and there's not one person didn't like them. Like, cause you know, like the jalapeno cheese, some people don't like them, but
yeah, right. I brought them
to
work.
A glass of milk if I eat one of those.
Oh, yeah.
They're spicy.
I brought them to work thinking, like, oh, I'll share them. That way the guys can try them and stuff. and I found myself on break. I ate like the entire package.
Kurt, we got over there. Nothing.
I had two left.
That's where you leave one stick and then you cut it into like 10 sections.
I did that. I cut like the last two in half. So I made a little more. I'm like, hey, guys, want some? I didn't eat this whole package right before I walked around out here.
I'm so full.
Yeah. But no, thanks to all our partners. It's pretty cool. Sorry for the lengthy-ish plug. And let's do a veteran shout-out quick. So all these are brought to you by Operation HHA USA. And we got a lot coming in with HHA USA and a lot more details. This is obviously the first time that we're talking about it. HHAUSA.org, you can go there. Also, if you go to workingclassbowhunter.com and in the side menu, there's a veteran shout-out button there now instead of going to the contact tab. Everything you need to know about HHA USA is there as well, and you can submit someone for the veteran shout-out. So Doug will be doing that plug from now on.
I'll be doing it.
Douglas Fur.
Are you ready?
Let's send it, man.
This veteran shout-out is brought to you by Operation HHA USA.
Wow.
You like that?
That was good.
Submitted by Nick Garbage, and the veteran is Matt Goddamski. He was in the United States Marine Corps.
Hold on, what was that last name?
Matt Goddamski. That's how he said, Goddamski.
That's awesome.
It's a great name. Rolls off the tongue. It says, I'm giving this shout out to my brother I never expected to have. Matt Goddamski, yes, that's why I call him, and you'd understand why if you've seen the shit I did with him in the years serving. I don't have time to write a biography, although it'd be a good one. Matt served in the Marines with me, and we both went on two tours together overseas as machine gunners. Some good times, some bad, but he always made it better. Little bromance here. Ha ha ha.
It gets weird, but you're honoring a hero.
But for real, Matt really deserves a shout out because after the military, he had some struggles in getting on his feet. But he's now an amazing father of two children, been together with his wife since basically forever, and now he does a lot of work for outdoor groups and spends time helping getting others to the outdoors and hunting. He has worked for a few organizations and builds wooden flags for donations.
Very cool.
Off the top of my head, I can only recall one, the Fallen Outdoors, but I know there's many more. He definitely makes me jealous in all his travels and hunting opportunities. Love you, Goddamski. Thank you, Working Class Bowhunter, for the podcast and all the veteran shout-outs. Love listening to you guys, and somehow every week I have a new favorite episode. Thanks, guys.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, Goddamski, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, yeah, Goddamski.
Thank you for your service, sir. If you're hearing this, maybe we can get you in contact with HHA USA to do like one of the flag giveaways at a bow shoot,
yep,
or something like that.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, I mean, all that's welcome. You know, if anybody wants to donate anything to veterans for the veteran shout out or get a hold of HHA USA, like, that's go for it. Like, we want that. We want to build a community.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, well, cool, man. This is going to be an interesting podcast. Thanks for sticking with us through the business. And we'll just get right into it and learn about whatever this podcast is about. I'm excited.
Can't wait.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Class. All right, on the podcast now, we have Troy from Hunt Wars. This is a really interesting concept, and we're ready to deep dive into this, man. What's up? Thanks for doing this.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me on. I'm super excited to kind of break down what we've done, what we've got going, what we've got coming up. So thank you for having me on.
Of course, man. Glad to do it. So I'm drawing a blank. Did we just end up finding each other? Did someone introduce us or what? But I don't even remember how that all happened, but we're here now. So I guess it doesn't matter. But
we have terrible memories here.
I think it was through Carbon TV, one of our partners through Carbon.
Yeah, that was it.
I think it was Autumn. made the introduction because that's one of the platforms that we'll be actually airing our episodes on.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad I asked that then. That's coming back to me now. I drink a lot of beer, and I'm not real smart. So, yeah. All right. So that makes sense. So that's where I heard about it. We touch base. We kind of have some mutual friends in the industry and stuff like that, and we kind of conversated. I was like, man, this would be perfect for a podcast. So I'm excited to learn more. And so, man, what is Hunt Wars?
Well, what is Hunt Wars? Jeez. So Hunt Wars was an idea we hatched about a year ago. And, you know, as far as hunting shows that are out there, I watch a lot of the Hunting Outdoor Channel and found just that it's the same guys hunting, usually the same places. A lot of the hunts take place on private property, you know, and I just kind of, you know, had an idea that, hey, we need to get more personalities out there on television. So we decided to go ahead and launch our first season of Hunt Wars. And what we did was take applications from anybody and everybody. So teams of two, they applied. We did a big push at the Total Archery Challenge last year, talked to a bunch of guys, and ended up only getting 50 applications for season one, if you can believe it. 50 guys applied. And we had 8 teams that we drew randomly to go compete. And basically what we decided was is that we would be able to control like what tags these guys were going to be hunting, the areas they were going to be hunting, and kind of level the playing field and have a true like competition based on, you know, two guys showing up and going against two guys that they don't know in the same area, same week. So they had all the same things that they had to deal with. And we did it on public land as well. And so we just decided that that competition kind of existed in the hunting world anyway, but nobody was filming it and nobody was really capturing the reality of what hunting really is, the ups, the downs, and kind of everything in between. So we chose the teams in August and got a bunch of great gear sponsors, Leopold, Peak Refuel, I mean, everything, Badlands, that we could supply for these hunters. And when they showed up in camp, Davis Wall Tents, they stayed in wall tents, and we gave them their coordinates to camp about a week before. So they couldn't go scout or preseason scout at all. They only could scout. We gave them the unit they were going to be hunting, and we have Hunt and Fool memberships for each one of our contestants, and they could call Hunt and Fool, talk to their experts, and then they would get a good idea of what to expect when they showed up in the unit. And then when they showed up, we gave them one day of scouting, and then the competition kicked off the following day.
Man, no kidding.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it was. It started with 4 elk hunting teams in New Mexico. And we had a team from Bama, a team from Utah, a team from Colorado and Montana. And we did back-to-back weeks. So we did one team for 7 days, one matchup with 2 teams, and then another matchup with 2 teams. And it went awesome. You know, when the episodes come out, which we'll start dropping the episodes on our YouTube channel, which is Hunt Wars TV, and on Amazon Prime and on Carbon TV by the end of this month, you're going to see these guys struggle. I mean, it's public land. These were limited quota tags that we bought. They were landowner tags down there. So there are a limited amount of hunters in that unit, but it's still, there's a lot of public land and a lot of public land hunters, and you're going to see these guys have to deal with that. It was really hot and dry conditions. Mm-hmm. Just everything that we struggle with that sometimes doesn't get portrayed on a lot of the hunting shows. You see the kill, you see, you know, everything's based on the kill and the trophy picture. Like, this is everything but that.
Right, right. Well, so before we deep dive into some more of the hunt questions, I want to go back to the beginning where you said anyone and everybody could apply, but only 50 people applied. What was, like, the criteria to apply? Like, I could just come up and be like, oh, Hunt Wars, cool, I'm in. That's all it was.
Yeah, it was basically filling out your basic information, email, phone number, address, and it was $100. And I think the guys thought maybe it was a little too good to be true. Like, wait a minute. So I'm in the hat. I get randomly drawn. I get a free hunt. I get all this gear, and all I'm paying is $100. So I'm like, yep, that's exactly what it is. And that's what it was. And so, you know, there were 50 people that believed in us and believed in the concept and went ahead and applied. And, you know, those guys are in for season two. And anyway, we decided to go ahead and launch it. I mean, you know what landowner tags are in New Mexico, and we spent about 45,000 on tags, and we only had 50 applications come in. So,
oh, shit. Pretty good odds.
Damn. So, you pick these guys, so are you randomly drawing them? Are you picking them like, okay, this guy has this experience, this guy's an expert here? You know what I mean? Are you kind of, okay.
Yeah. So, what we did is we actually randomly drew eight teams. Like, we just drew them, like, bam, 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 threw them out of the hat. And then what we did is we set up phone calls or Zoom calls with each one of these guys. And we went through and tried to match them up best with the experience level. So the first two guys, the first two teams were pretty inexperienced archery elk hunters. And I'm like, hey, that would be a really good matchup. So we made the dates work for both of them, and luckily they did. And it worked out great to have kind of an inexperienced archery elk matchup. And then the next two guys, teams that we called, you know, we talked to them, and actually one of the teams that we called, we couldn't make the dates work, and they just kind of were like, you know, we had some other stuff. And so we refunded their $100 and said, hey, just go ahead and apply next year, and gave them another $100 back and drew another team. And we just kept doing that until we got the matchups that we wanted and that we felt really good about. But it all kind of worked out really good. We had experienced guys, we had non-experienced guys. And so how it works is we just draw the teams, and then as the dates and the hunts kind of fall in place, we just keep subbing in teams and making sure it all works out.
No kidding. Okay. That makes sense. So
pretty much you're going on a 7-day hunt with a complete stranger that you don't even know.
No. Another good question. You're going on a 7-day hunt with your best buddy, and you're against two other guys that you don't know.
Two man teams.
Yep. You got a spotter and a shooter. We actually had a, you know, in the elk hunts, we had a caller and a shooter, and those two guys showed up. They were, you know, brothers, best friends, whatever you wanted to call it, but yeah, they were a team, and then they were against another team.
Gotcha. Okay, that's.
I thought it was you match them up with random people, and then
I was kind of
them
that
two
way
guys
too.
Just went in with each other, didn't even know each other.
Yeah, no, we don't have any matchups like that. We'll probably do something like that in the future, but you know, nobody wants to go hunt with a complete stranger. Yeah,
that just added the intense factor.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I'm out here with this
guy.
Idiot.
Fucking sucks.
Yeah, no. So it would be, you know, if one of you guys drew, you would be able to pick your teammate, bring him with you, and go hunt. So it was really fun that way, because these guys came to really, really compete and wanted to – they didn't know the team that they were competing against, and so it kind of raised everybody's level. I mean, there wasn't dudes coming back to camp in the middle of the day. Like, they were pushing hard. And we had teams that were – you know, hiking anywhere from 8 to 12 miles a day, you know, elk hunting, and the conditions were tough. Like, these guys really pushed, and that's what was actually really kind of, you know, satisfying about the competition, was it actually made them hunt harder, and that's what we wanted.
Right,
and
of course.
We put a few things in place, which, you know, a lot of people equate hunting and competition, like, oh, it's all about the horns. Like, no, like, the other team doesn't even know if a team kills, we don't tell the other team what the score was. So that way they're looking for the most mature animal they possibly can find.
Okay.
And that kind of helps with, you know, in golf, if you don't know the other person's score, you're just playing yourself pretty much. Right, and so that's kind of the same feel that we got in our Hunt Wars competition this year is, you know, you're going out, and our scoring actually supported that. So the scoring for season one was total gross score of an animal. I like gross score because if the animal grew it, he should get credit for it.
Of course.
The maturity actually counted for double points. So oh, if really? They were 5 years old, you got 10 extra points for that. Yeah. We wanted to hunt as mature of animals as we possibly find. And then the third metric was shot yardage. And we actually did a deduction for shot yardage. So 0 to 40 yards was a 0 point deduction. 40 to 60 was a 10 point, 60 to 80 was 20, and 80 plus yard shots with a bow was a 30 point deduction on your score.
Interesting. Wow. Interesting.
And so we were pushing guys to get in closer and really truly see who the best hunting team was in that 7 day stretch.
That makes sense. So you can kind of push them to get them extra points.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, a 51 yard shot as opposed to 49, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so you know, you see guys pushing in as hard as they can and getting as close as they possibly can, to these animals, which is great. You know, we're obviously promoting ethical shots and, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen. And so you're trying to do your best. So that's what we wanted to do, is push as much as we could to get ethical shots happening.
That would be interesting. So while you're kind of talking about all of this, I'm trying to picture myself like in the competition.
Yeah, I was too.
You know, especially being a guy who's only been on one elk hunt.
Right.
You know, I have some buddies that are good. We all do, you know, that are good at elk hunting and stuff. But yeah, like you go out there, for me, never killing an elk, I'd be like, man, there's an elk right there. Like I could kill this thing and then, one, get my first elk, get the elk meat, and then could win this competition. Because so if I shot an animal that maybe I shot a smaller elk that wasn't so mature and the other person shot nothing but still passed those animals, I would still win. Is that how it works?
You'd win. Yep. And you're going to see that in one of the episodes. And it is a game of inches. And you will – it really did – you know, guys – would pass on stuff, and then they'd pass and they'd pass, and then all of a sudden it got down to the last day or two and they're like, holy crap, why did we pass on that? Like, it really actually pushes guys, you know, and it pushes them to really make, you know, decisions based on, well, I've got $5,000 on the line and this is a raghorn and he's at 20 yards. Like, let's do this, you know? And I think that was kind of cool to watch, because sometimes it made guys really mad and sometimes it was like, we won and it's not the biggest buck we've ever shot, but we won, you know?
Yeah. Right. So what do they get if they win? Is there like a breakdown for that?
Yep. So the breakdown this year for season one was each teammate, so you and your spotter. Well, let's talk about the gear sponsors real quick, because when they showed up to camp, they got Leopold binos, spotters, they got range finders and sunglasses from Leopold.
Kick ass.
All their meals were covered by Peak Refuel, and then we had a chef in camp that would cook dinners and breakfast if they wanted them. But anything Peak Refuel, if they wanted to spike out, we had all that stuff in camp for them. All their drinks, everything, snacks, whatever they wanted that way. They also got Badlands backpacks. We had Davis wall tents with stoves in there for them. They got Mountain Mafia sleeping bags. They got sheep feet orthotics in their boots. They got bow spiders for their bows to throw in their packs. And then they got that was kind of the gear pack that they got when they showed up. And then the prizes, they got two prime bows. So each guy won a new prime bow, the newest, nice, best prime bow that's on the market. They both won canvas cutters. If you haven't seen canvas cutter, those things are amazing. They're like a one-man tent, but they're all canvas, and they have a sleeping pad in them. They're amazing. Bedrolls, they're really cool.
Hmm.
And then solo stoves, crispy boots, black Ovis pants, and socks for each teammate.
I like that.
Man, well worth the $100, yeah, if you ask me.
You're getting your money's worth there.
You get a hunt and all this stuff.
Yeah, not to mention the whole hunt was paid for them. And so that was kind of all to throw in as well. And, you know, it really was. And, you know, part of this is also we had a lot of guys that probably couldn't afford to go to New Mexico on a hunt like that on their own dime. And so, you know, part of this show is also helping people, you know, live dreams that they've probably couldn't have done on their own.
Absolutely.
And yeah,
that doesn't always like come through in randomly drawing, you know, we randomly draw names, but it just seems like this is like a everyday hunter's opportunity to go and compete and have a blast and get a professionally videoed hunt. So we had two videographers with each team on our elk hunts and one video guy with all each team on their deer hunts. And so you had a guy with the caller and a guy with the shooter, because sometimes, you know, you're 150 yards apart and we wanted to make sure we capture both sides of the equation, the calling, right, and the shooting. And so you're going to see some amazing footage and amazing bulls ripping and close encounters and guys, you know, it's just a blast. It was really cool.
I really like the idea of the show, and from the sounds of it, the layout's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
Did the teams have any interaction with each other before, during, or after the hunts?
So that was actually one thing that evolved. So when we were in New Mexico, we actually had the camps about a mile and a half apart. And that way teams could strategize, they could leave and not feel like they might get followed. And we felt like we wanted to keep them separate, you know, and have them have their own hunt. And we decided on the deer hunts to go ahead and combine the camp. And, you know, whether it was drama, whether it was, you know, it's reality TV. So we were just, you know, we were just trying to see which one fit better. And the one where we had everybody in camp, we spread out their tents probably, I don't know, 100 yards for the deer hunts. But they were still in camp. We ate together. We hung out together at night. It was a riot. It was such a good atmosphere. It was really fun. And guys that didn't know each other before got to know each other and were really cool. It was funny because every night they'd come in and they would talk about anything but what they saw.
That's funny.
So that way there was no following and no, and they would always go back to their camp and strategize and, you know, or back to their tent. And so it was cool that way to actually have the camaraderie in camp together. The video guys are there. The hunters are there. We're all shooting the breeze. We're eating dinner together. And then everybody kind of goes back to their tents to really strategize on what they want
to
do.
You mean to tell me that you guys weren't, like, low-key antagonizing them, like, behind the camera?
Yeah, like, Jimmy's talking shit about Carl over here.
Yeah.
As soon as they walk away from the fire, they're talking shit.
He saw a buck with a 12-inch drop down over there on that ridge, but he would never tell you that.
I already saw a 200-inch.
You're trying to mix it up, like, fight promotions and shit for the UFC? Like, I'm not saying, like...
Just like the Ultimate Fighter, but intense.
Literally intense.
Intense.
Yeah, it didn't ever get to that. Like, I thought it would maybe escalate. Maybe in the back of my mind, I'm like, it would be fun to have, like, a little drama. But, I mean, these guys were just so happy to be there and to compete. And they were hunted harder. And it was almost like a competition of who could come back later and who could not come back for lunch than it was, you know, anything else. And so you just saw these guys just absolutely pressing, and you'll see, you know, some of them are like driving back to camp and they're going to grab lunch and they're like, screw it. Like, we're not doing that. We're going to go out. And they just, we're not going to kill a camp. We're not going to give those guys the satisfaction that we're back at camp. And you hear that. And that's, it's pretty cool because that's kind of what we wanted, was guys to push themselves farther than they could.
That's awesome. Really cool. I wonder if you guys were in the whitetail woods. I mean, most hunters are cool. Like, that, what you said about the whole drama thing, I expected everyone to get along and everything. Yep. That's typically how it goes. But, you know, you get some whitetail guys stirred up in different areas about property lines and a buck that they got on trail cam that all of a sudden is their buck. And, man, I think that would escalate real quick. You know, that's over a longer stretch of time than however long, like, a quick hunt would be. But... I imagine you guys keep trucking away. You'll have a good episode of some drama there eventually. You'll have some people disagreeing.
Scuffle.
Well, I'm not going to say there wasn't any drama. We had a couple of times where actual partners got into it with each other, where we had one group where they didn't have radios and, you know, didn't think clearly to bring radios, and that the shooter was sneaking in on a bull. The partner came walking in and blew the bull out, and they got in a pretty big shoving match and were kind of upset with each other. But it was as far as drama, you know, really what was is the public land guys that are interfering and blowing stocks for these guys. And that's just what we all deal with. But man, like, those guys would get pretty livid if a public land dude was just dinking around and came driving up on his four wheeler or trekking through the woods, and these guys are putting all their heart and soul into killing a buck and or a bull. And that happened regularly. And I was really grateful, to be honest with you, because I felt like that really will portray what public land hunting really is.
That'd be frustrating in a competition to have. There's a lot of unknown variables when it comes to public hunting. It definitely throws a wrench into it when compared to hunting on a private piece.
Yep. And that's what our whole, you know, kind of thought was on public land stuff was, you have the same rut patterns, you have the same general pressure, you have all of those factors working against you, not to mention you've never hunted the area before, you know. And so we wanted to capture how do you guys go do that and be successful? And it was a struggle for these guys season one. I was really impressed with, you know, what the results were, and it was really a great season, and I'm excited for season two. Season two is going to be bigger, going to be better. We have announced our season two hunts. We went from 8 teams in season one to 12 teams in season two. We're going to add some hunts in season two. So, I need to give you guys the breakdown of season two because I think it's going to be even better.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So we added an antelope rifle hunt in August to season two. So we're going to have two antelope teams. And what we're looking at doing for the antelope hunt is, as you know, they're called speed goats. This is going to be a speed round. So they have to shoot a minimum size deer. We're going to, goat. We're going to give them a minimum on inches that they have to. That buck has to score, but it's whoever can kill and get it back to camp first.
Oh, that'll be fun.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, and if they don't hit the threshold, they're immediately DQ'd, and then the other team just has to kill one that meets the threshold. So we're gonna do that. We have our staple is our four elk hunts and their archery. They'll be in September, and we're gonna actually do a different matchup with those. I think we're gonna do King of the Camp. So we're going to have all four teams in camp same week, and it's whoever kills, and you're against all the other teams. So instead of just one matchup, you've got three other teams out there that you've got to beat.
So whoever kills the highest grossing animal wins.
Yep.
Yeah.
So whoever kills, and we just rank you that way.
Cool.
The next one is we did archery mule deer hunts this year. Next year we're doing rifle mule deer hunts. So we'll actually have four rifle mule deer teams as well, and that will be our matchup, just the same as we had before our matchup play. And then our last one is a fast and furious duck hunting round, which will be a two-day duck hunt, and the teams will have certain points, you know, attributed to different species, tagging out, and if they miss, it's deductions. So we're going to have a two-day duck hunt where two teams come in and
So do bands count for extra points if you shoot a banded bird?
Banded birds, like, yeah, we'll have a whole point breakdown.
That's pretty cool.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That is cool, man. I didn't consider, like, waterfowl into this because it's, like you said earlier, this is kind of a thing that's in hunting in general. It's not a competition, but, like, kind of low-key it might be. Like, or it depends what your friend group is.
It's something you could easily turn into a competition.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
But I like the way you're structuring this because you're getting real hunters. Like, you're not grabbing some bimbo that's some Instagram hunter that's had daddy hold her hand. When I mean by daddy, I'm talking about maybe her real daddy or not a real daddy.
Or a sugar daddy. Whatever.
Or a sugar daddy. Hey,
a sugar daddy.
Or go to Outfitters and just be pulling the trigger.
Yeah. Hey, we're not here to judge. But I'm glad that this doesn't seem like that. And when I, before the podcast, I was like, I might throw some joke questions at you. And this was the joke question. I just brought it in a little different, but it's real life hunters in a real life situation. It's not like this, anyway, it doesn't seem to be from the conversation, a Discovery Channel over dramatized deal.
It's just real guys hunting.
Guys hunting. Yeah, no, we're not looking for love or likes on this one.
Yes! Thank you for saying
it.
That.
You said it.
Yes. Fuck for love or for likes. That show sucks. And I'm saying it right here. Hunt Wars is where it's at. Fuck love or for likes.
Hunt Wars is as real as hunting will ever get. I mean, the cool part is we do backgrounds, little like interviews at the very beginning of each matchup. So you get to see the teams and you get to see, like, these are everyday working guys. Like, nobody's a professional hunter. Not one person on our show. We did do a brand matchup. I have to admit, we did one brand versus brand matchup, and that was Aaron Snyder versus South Cox Traditional Archery, and that was a matchup that we added. And I wanted to get somebody in the hunting world that I felt like, you know, was a competitive guy. I called Aaron Snyder. He was a freaking stud. He literally, like, first day is like, I'm in, like, and tell me who I'm up against. And I said, well, who's a worthy opponent? And he gave me two or three names, and I called those guys, and South Cox is like, done. Like, let's go do traditional archery, mule deer in Arizona, and that matchup was intense. And those guys were awesome. They were buddies at camp, competitors out in the field. So, yeah, I mean, most of these guys are just, you know, we have guys that are concrete workers and guys that are, you know, they work at power plants and, you know, everyday hunters that just like to get out. And these guys were competing for thousands in prizes. And so it's like, gosh, dude, I got 7 days to do this thing. Like, let's do this. And it captured, like, the video footage is awesome. It's cool that way.
That's a cool – that's, like, the most I was going to say, with the brand thing, it could have gone one way or another, and I think you probably played it the best way possible because you get two legit guys with traditional equipment. You're not getting, like, Matt Busbus with his crossbow that's, like, trying to
– in his fencing area.
Yeah, you're not trying to get him to kill a mule deer in a hot dog suit over a watering hole while jumping on a pogo stick or whatever the fuck he does just to get, like, traction. So thank you for doing that the right way.
Yeah, no, we're actually, and what I want to do is I want to get competing brands, you know, a Sitka versus Kuryu, send your best hunters, and let's see how these guys really do hunt, these brands really do hunt, and it's been interesting because I've actually had a lot of brands reach out and say, hey, we want to go, like, we want to be on the show, we want to do this, and so we'll probably have a brand matchup every year. I feel like it's just cool and people want to see the people behind the companies hunt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's always fun to see Aaron Snyder and you kind of believe in Kafaru a little bit more because you know how great a hunter Aaron is. And you know that he would never put something on his back that he – or sell something that he wouldn't put on his own back.
Right.
And I think there's kind of something to be said about that. You know, these companies that sell stuff that never – or in the backcountry or don't understand that, sometimes you get back there and you're like, gosh, dude, did they even think about where to put this zipper or to do this? Like, how many times have you, you know, got a new item and then just been like, this makes no sense why they would put this here.
Right. Well, I think with that mindset, the way you're kind of explaining things, that, dude, the sky's the limit because
– the way you have it structured too, I mean
– it's perfect.
Yeah, it's –
because you could take you could go to anywhere. I mean, dude, just imagine this, like going to like ATA show and you walking around with like a clipboard and being like, hey, come over here.
Like, go recruit your teams right on ATA.
Dude, that'd be fun. It'd either be amazing or a complete fucking train wreck. I'd say 9 times out of 10 it's a train wreck. But
he'd be like that guy with the kiosk at the mall, just sign your name here, you could win a car.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know what I mean? You could do, and I would tune in because you could do a brand war with anyone, and that's just interesting in itself. Like, it's people like to see that stuff. Like, one, competition's interesting no matter what you're watching.
Yeah.
And, but hunting, you know, done this way, it would just be, it's kind of like an organic type competition. But you could do, I mean, from brands to TV shows
to podcasts
to
team working class. We need to get somebody in there.
Yeah,
Clint Casper stepping in, boys. We're going elk hunting.
And the different personalities, I think, is what's key to me. Like, I love watching different guys. Like, a guy that never has ever been on a Yukon moose hunt. And, you know, in the future seasons, we're going to have Hunt Wars Alaska, and we're going to do a freaking drop camp, and we're going to get some dudes up there that probably haven't ever been there. A guy shooting a moose for the first time is just a different feel than Jim Shockey shooting a 70th.
Like, right.
You know, it's the same thing. Like, the Drury's super successful. They have, like, 9 shows on the Outdoor Channel. I mean, it's like dream season and late season and preseason. I mean, I don't even know how many seasons they have, but it just seems like, you know, those guys are very well established. Like, I would love to see somebody who's never shot a whitetail, you know, go shoot a whitetail. Or never, you know, like you said, never shot an elk before and not only shoot an elk on our show for the first time, but win their matchup and just be like, you know, chest bumping more than they've ever done because they won.
Yeah, you're going to get some raw emotion on there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's impossible not to capture that. If you got the camera guys following around like you're doing, and, you know, that's the cool thing about something like this because you're kind of like you mentioned a little bit earlier, you're breaking that mold of what is a traditional hunting show,
right,
the traditional format you're seeing, and then different trends come in and out. But I think you're probably hitting this right. I mean, there's hunting competitions like Austin. You've done a couple, just but it's like on your own. You send in your footage and you rank whatever. And but this is like legitimate.
You see everything
like, produced.
Yeah, yeah. I've done some of those, you know, the big buck contests and this and that. And the hard part is you're like, the second that you can beat or you see the winner, you're like, that's on private land. That's a high fence. Like, there's no way that guy cheated. Like, everybody thinks that guy cheated. And so we kind of took that element out of it by saying, we're supplying the tags. Like, we know where you're hunting the same unit that the other guys are hunting. So there's no cheating. There's no way to kind of have it. And the video quality is key as well. So that's kind of right. Why we took those two off the table and said, well, let's supply the tags so these guys know where they're hunting. And we have the cameraman, so it's not like any foul play or this or that. And we have a draw blood rule. And you'll actually see this in season one where one of our teams actually hits a good animal and there's blood on the ground and that's their animal. And we have a strict, you know, draw blood policy where they have to hunt that animal or nothing else until their hunt's over.
Yeah, no kidding. That's fair.
That it just kind of keeps it all fair and guys aren't out there flinging arrows and wounding animals.
Yeah, it's a good point.
There's consequences for taking a shot, you know.
Yep, you got to think twice. And it's actually been really cool. All the teams have been really cool to sign off on that and not really fuss. The team that hit that animal, they took it and said, yep, you know, we probably should have done some things a little differently, and we've all had and been there. And so they're like, we're on that animal the rest of the time. We got it. And they ended up not tagging out because of it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's fair. I mean, if anybody's ever been to any outfitter, they have kind of the same rule.
Yep.
Like
yep.
Once blood hits the ground, that's your critter, you know, and yeah, that's fair, I think, and it's respectful. I mean, as it can get in a situation like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny when you're talking about it, you all of a sudden start brainstorming different ideas, and you're like, well, you do this, and we've got probably 6 seasons worth of ideas that we'll end up doing. There's one that I would love to have, people that have never hunted before in just one matchup, and you know, get them ready, teach them kind of the basics, and then throw them out there and show like really the general public like hunting's no joke. Like you have to know what you're doing to be able to be successful nowadays. You can't just walk out in the woods and think you're gonna come across an animal unless you're the luckiest person alive. But we've just got a ton of episodes that way. I want to do a father son. Episode where you have your shooter that's under 15 to kind of bring in that new age of hunting, that new age of hunter. And so we'll do an episode with that. And we just have a lot of different ideas on matchups and whatnot. But
right.
For the most part, like us with the 12 teams, I think we'll draw those probably right around the end of May to the 1st of June. But just so you know, when you put your $100 in, it doesn't just put you in for all the 12 spots that we'll draw. It also puts you in. We'll be doing a giveaway every week of our application period. So if you've applied, you're in all the drawings all the way up leading up to the main drawing. But this next week we'll have a Leopold rangefinder. And I wanted to do good ones. The next week will be a prime bow. We'll do some crazy good stuff that guys are going to get along the way for applying.
So while we're doing this podcast, can people still apply? When's the cutoff date?
Oh, yeah. So we just barely started applications for season two, like just barely. So
cool.
Applications for season two will run from January to about the middle of June. Probably cool. A little bit more. And then what we'll do is once we get our 12 teams and we draw those, we'll probably send them out a GoPro and we'll start having them filming their workouts, their shooting, like what their regimen is to get ready for outdoors, because sometimes that's as exciting. And we'll post that on our YouTube channel and our social media, just so that people can see kind of what the teams are doing to prepare and keep them in the loop so they can kind of pick who their favorites are and what team they're going to be rooting for.
That's cool, man. I really like, I enjoy this whole setup a ton.
I really like it too, that you're adding waterfowl to it and other species where it's going to kind of involve everyone. You know, you could even go into noodling, fishing,
turkeys, would be gators. Really fun.
I mean, you
turkeys,
could,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I had a couple questions, and that, since we're on to it, we'll skip ahead of my, in my question log here. Whitetails, is whitetails on the radar?
So your exact, what your point was with private land, like I have yet to find, and I've hunted whitetails a lot, I've yet to find a good public land whitetail hunting venue that isn't a draw. I mean, you think about Wyoming, pretty good, you know, whitetail open areas that you can go to public land and hunt good whitetails. But anywhere in the Midwest, all of those are farms. And so I'm trying to figure out how we can do it, not to mention,
hey, I got you, hanging, I got ideas,
hanging stands, kennel blinds. Like, it's almost like a, I know it's a chess match with the deer, but in 7 days you've already got to have the blinds and the stands set. It's almost just kind of like a, you know, lucky pick, like, hey, I picked this stand because of this and the buck ended up, you know, cruising by. So if you guys can help me out, I would love to do a whitetail hunt. I think it would be awesome.
Okay, I got some ideas. We'll talk after the podcast. I got a, I got an idea that might work.
I'm open to all and every idea to be able to get it. I was thinking of having, you know, maybe two guys that have neighboring farms, or, you know, that feel like, hey, their farms are the best, and we could do it that way. So there's a couple ideas, but I still haven't fleshed it out to where I feel like it would be fair enough to do a matchup there. So I'm totally open to that.
Yeah, I have I have an idea. It might work for you.
I'll can help you out a little bit.
I'll run it by you, and we'll talk. But it's, all right. I think it'll work.
So like 1% ownership in Hunt Wars, you can give me that.
Okay.
It'd be funny to do like a squirrel hunt or something crazy like that.
Well, it's actually funny you say that. In our last matchup down in the desert hunting mule deer, we decided that any jackrabbit shot was a half a point. And one team really took that and ran with it. Holy smokes.
There's like, there's like
jackrabbit every night in camp.
There's like ear length count and all that.
Yeah, well, we didn't really do anything crazy that way like other species. But I think we'll incorporate that down the road because it was an absolute riot. I mean, these guys, they were burning up arrows every day trying to hit these rabbits.
That's hilarious.
Okay, I got a question. And so this is kind of like a question that leads into another question that probably leads into another question here. All right. To a competition, nobody kills anything. It's just a wash.
Yep.
Okay. What if there's a tie?
Okay.
And the odd
no
chance.
Ties in hunt, there are no ties in Hunt Wars. The only – the there's an outcome that we crown a winner every time, and we go to a sudden death shootout. Archery equipment was this year, obviously. Where we had 5 arrows for each team. Each guy had to take a shot at 40. Each guy had to take a shot at 60. And then they got to deem one person to shoot at 85. And it was total score. We threw in a wrench and made it that at 40, they had to hold their draw back for a minute before they could shoot. At 60, they had to be kneeling. And then at 85, it was just kind of a crapshoot. You know, they were tired by then, and so you see some misses at 85, and comes down to the final shot, and there is some guys that, I mean, you're talking about $5,000 of prizes on the line, so think about that. That's $1,000 an arrow.
Right.
You know, a teammate misses, and you get some pretty, pretty big crusties, some pretty tough stares back and forth, like, are you freaking kidding me? You didn't hit the target? So it makes it really fun at the end, but we do crown a winner on a shootout at each episode.
Okay, okay, very cool. And then, so winner of the competitions, is it? Will this eventually build into like the King of Hunt War somewhere? Like you're like the man that won this chapter of it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm kind of thinking, you know, the show Ink Master, the tattoo competition, like you're crowned Ink Master. Like
right.
You have that title forever. Like you're.
Or do they get to like come back the next year if they win and kind of defend their title?
Yeah, so what we'll do is probably season 3 or 4, once we have a good winner's circle, we'll have a winner's bracket. Guys come back and defend and either play their other, you know, the other winners that won other seasons. But yes, we will have a winner's something down the road. It would just be cool to be, you know, we could maybe do a king of the camp. So all the elk hunt winners over seasons 1 through 3 come back in one camp and they, you know, they go at it. So, yeah, the sky's the limit on the winners. Guys are going to be back on the show for sure.
That's cool.
Sounds like sky's the limit for the show. You guys can do a lot of different cool things with it.
It's malleable.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on. I think you'll start to see probably Hunt Wars go on an international level, just between us. But yeah, I mean, I guess not between us.
Don't tell anyone. It'll be
don't tell anybody. No, but yeah, we're super excited to probably bring in some teams that are maybe outside the country to compete in the country.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be sweet.
Get a bunch of like dudes from Europe that never been around hunting.
Australia, New Zealand. I mean, those guys hunt stags over there pretty regularly. I think if you plugged them in here in the elk woods, they'd probably do pretty good.
Yeah, I would think so. That'd be really interesting. That would be really, really, or vice versa, you know?
Yep, yep. So,
man,
we've got big plans. I think the biggest key to us is guys seeing that other guys are drawing and that the application is a no-brainer. I mean, let me ask you guys. I'm a guy that puts in for a lot of states, and every state that I put in, even my own state, is a $35 hunting license, and then $5 for any general season tag that I want to put in for. And so you're at $50 pretty much every time, and probably double that if you go out of state. So we lined our application up with that and saying it's $100 per team, $50 per guy. And so it's almost kind of like just another application for guys to go put into. We didn't want to go crazy. We wanted to give them, you know, but along the way, you're going to get drawn out for a rangefinder, for a bow, for a peak refuel pack, for a Mountain Mafia sleeping bag. Like, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to get that $100 back.
Yeah, if you're asking us if we would apply, yes, I'm already thinking about applying.
I'm asking. You guys, when you apply, you know, I know Idaho is your guys' home state. What is the cost to apply?
Did you say Idaho?
Idaho, we're in
Illinois. Start to the nine.
Oh,
same
Illinois.
Difference.
Sorry, Illinois. My bad.
The great liberal state of whitetails.
Yeah, great liberal state. Okay, Pike County. So, Illinois,
Pike
like,
County.
What is the normal cost of a tag out there?
For a resident, it's cheap. Like I couldn't tell. I just pay for
$25.
$25.
$25 to $35 for like a general season, like over the counter.
Yeah, archery tag over the counter for a non-resident. It's in that. It's cashy.
Almost $500. $500. Figure everything in.
But you can draw a tag every year.
Yeah.
A buck tag.
Yeah, and if you've put in for Western states, like you've put in for elk. You know, I know Utah non-resident. It's over $100, and same thing for. You know, I put in for Arizona, and it's $160. And I'm just like, geez, like, and not only that, you draw that hunt. Now you either got to hire an outfitter. And so for us, I'm like, you know, these guys' value is going to be through the roof as far as their $100. That's kind of what I'm getting at is like, your tag's paid for, your license is paid for. Like, we pay your license. We literally give you your money back for the $500 license.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I want these guys to have an experience that they've never had before. And that is somebody catering to their every need and giving them everything they possibly can to be successful.
Right.
So pretty much all they got to do is take off work and get there.
Take off work and get there.
That's it.
Exactly right.
Oh, I like it.
That's awesome.
Easy peasy.
That's a deal.
I love the, you know, I think, and I don't know, maybe listeners will agree or disagree, but my mindset is like you see some of this stuff, you're like, man, I'm not sure about it. But hearing all the details on this is – I'm really impressed with it, man. I love the platform. You can do really anything you want with it, and it's going to make sense.
And I'm sure once the show actually comes out and airs, that'll make a lot more sense to people, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. When does season one drop?
So season one, the first matchups will be done towards the end of this month, January. We'll have the season one episodes, and they'll kind of follow that. We just got done shooting our last episode, our last matchup this last week in Arizona. So that one will take a little bit, but you'll get episodes, and they'll probably do 1 to 3 episodes per matchup. And I always have said, what's better than watching one hunting show? It's, you know, two hunting shows at the same time. And that's the format. You're going to see back and forth between the teams. you know, what's one team doing? Okay, they're there. Okay, then it shoots to the next team. Okay, they're in, and you're going to get some intense situations where both teams are on balls or on bucks, making stocks, and you're flipping back and forth between the teams to see, you know, how it plays out. And so we can build the drama that way, and then also, you know, the reality side of things. Guys have GoPros on their heads. They're stalking stuff with GoPros. Like, we tried to outfit them with as much as we could. They've got GoPros in their vehicles so we can capture, you know, when they're driving out, when they're driving home, to recap what they're doing, what they're saying, you know, any little nuggets of information that we possibly can get. We're going to put that on the show so people can learn as well.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Now, do you go spend time in the camp with these guys?
Yeah, I spend a week long with them.
That's awesome.
I'm usually
Dana White of Hunt Wars is right in the mix.
Yeah, the mastermind's there, and it's funny. I try to give them a pump up speech, you know, about midweek, like, "Hey guys, you know, keep pushing." And but most of the time, they're self motivated guys, and I'm just there to chop firewood and make sure their tents are warm when they get back at night.
You're the ice guy. Make sure the beer's cold, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, sodas are restocked. And there's one cool thing I will say, and I don't know if this is going to deter people or not, but we have a no alcohol policy in camp. I want my hunters sober and like as keen as they can be. And so every group has been super cool about that. We do have Black Rifle Coffee as a sponsor, so we have plenty of that in camp. But yeah, as far as sodas go, we got Monsters. Any type of drinks the guys want, but we don't serve alcohol in our camps just so that we're, you know, on edge.
I'm just saying a good fist fight in camp would make for great television.
Yeah, maybe if we're starving for content and we're stalled out, I'll just grab a bunch of beers and be like, hey, tonight's the night, guys.
Right. Drink these and get belligerent. We're just going to film it.
We're just going to keep filming.
Yeah.
Don't turn the cameras off.
One time you bring beer into camp, like, special guests in camp, you're going to do a podcast with Working Class Bowhunter, and they brought 30 packs of Bud. You're in luck. It's like, we're the assholes that ruined the whole show.
it's been really, you know, you think it's a lot of drama because of what reality TV has become on television, and really, reality is, if you get the right people, there's no real drama.
Well, let's be honest. A lot of that's manufactured anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. The lover lies. Come on. Matt's done a great job.
That's damn. All real shit, man.
A-plus production. A-plus production. Yep.
A-plus.
Yeah. I love it.
I give an A-.
It's my favorite show.
It's tough out here, man.
It's real.
Golly, I'm thankful to have a podcast to be able to promote stuff like this and not that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's tough, man. Like, the industry, it's on a teeter-totter sometimes, you know?
I was going to ask you, like, where do you guys feel like as far as the industry is going? You know, do you feel like it's going in a good direction? Do you feel like sometimes I'm really excited about where the industry is going? Other times I'm like, I feel like it's getting such a bad rap from a few people.
I feel passionate about this at times. So I go back and forth, I think. Right now I'm in a good mindset on it.
I think it's always like you're always feeling real good about it. Then For Love or Lice comes out and it just throws a stick in your spoke.
Yeah, you're like, man, this,
God damn it.
That is me.
You know what I mean? You're like on that high, and all of a sudden just drops back off.
Well, what happens is I don't watch a lot of, like, I don't get to watch a lot of mainstream. Like, I do know a little more now because of, like, Sling TV I have. So I can watch a little more Sportsman, Outdoor Channel, and Pursuit or whatever. And I see some of it, and I'm like, man, this kind of brings me back watching the old hunting shows when I was a kid. Like, this is cool. But then you get some of them, you're like, dude, this whole show fucking sucks. Like, this is an embarrassment. And, like, I'm the whole time thinking, like, people get mad about me saying the F word on the podcast, but you got this jack wagon over here just making us all look like dickbags by just shit he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, the way he's hunting, you
know? And that shit's on the Outdoor Channel, where anyone that's not into hunting can be like, hey, I want to figure out about hunting. And he flips to that, and you're like, that's their perspective on hunting.
Right. You kick Matt Busbus off Outdoor Channel, it goes up 40 points, like, immediately. Because he's got that other show that he's, like, trying to rip off Ridiculousness. But I don't even know what it's called. It's the worst thing ever. It's like filmed in his garage,
Like green screen.
Yeah, it's like he was like, I'm going to make this look like shit on purpose, even though I have the funding to make it not look like this. And I don't, well, it's just bad.
It's interesting the ideas that come out when money's really not the like the factor. It's just like, I just need to fill my time with something, and then you get a really poor product.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just,
it's like he gets bored. He's like, yeah, let's do this today.
And we have our opinion. We've expressed our opinions on a lot of this, but it's, I think generally if you took out a lot of the dudes who are doing it for, to just get their face in a slot on one of those networks, if you took like those guys out and dudes that are generally like, I love Bone Collector. I think they're a classic. I think the way they do their show is great. They're not always out there. They kill great bucks, but they're not always out there like to kill the big bucks and that it's important, whatever. But then, you know, you have your really good educational shows. You got like Midwest Whitetails out there is a really good one. Brian Barney is on Eastman's. He also has Eastman's Elevated. He's a stud.
Yeah,
like, actually, what's funny, now that we're talking about this, I was watching one show. It might have been a Matt Busbis genre show. We'll just call, that's his own genre. he had a show, and I was watching it, and I'm like, dude, what the fuck is this? And I was just, like, super bummed. Like, I was bummed. And then right after it, Brian Barney was on hunting antelope with his bow. And I was, like, so into it and watching him hunt. And he's such a cool dude, but he's educational, but he's relatable. And the whole mix of that, like, saved it for me. Like, I was about ready to, like, back out on Outdoor Channel altogether.
It brought you back. It sucked you back in.
Brian Barney came in with his angel wings and just saved the day. And I was like, man, that's what it needs to be. That's what this whole network should be all the time, is shows like that. Or just good hunt camp camaraderie, non-gimmicky, like, bullshit, you know? Right. Like, it should just be the real wholesome stuff.
You know, it's funny to add on to that. I remember back in the day when Cameron Haynes was at Eastman's, and so was South Cox. I don't know if you guys, those guys were like the OGs of freaking Eastman's. Like, those guys were in Nevada in backcountry hunts way back in the day. And so it was kind of a cool, I don't know, feeling camp to have South in camp with us, hunting with this traditional archery equipment, because I've watched him, you know, kill so many bucks. And we actually did a podcast on Kafaru Cast, and him and Aaron were talking about what the closest they've ever got to killing a deer was. And like, South was like, yeah, I've killed one basically right off my arrow. You know, I just pulled my arrow. Like, you know, few steps, if that. He killed an elk, I think, last year at like 5 yards with his stick bow. And I mean, those stick bows are crazy. We were hunting bucks, and you know, they'd be at 35 yards, and he's like, that's a bomb. You know, that's a bomb for me. And literally, you see those bucks shoot at camp, and I can eat a sandwich between the time, you know, it hits the target when they release it. It seems like it's forever. Right. But that's another level. And so it was cool to have those guys in camp. And that's kind of what we're looking for, is cool matchups that guys will really find enticing. And it's reality. You will never see a restock. You know, I like on Outdoor Channel, you're watching it, and all of a sudden the camera angle goes to a point where you're like, wait a minute, this camera would have to be between the animal and the hunter. There's no possible way you could get this and still be in the stock, you know?
Right,
right.
But
yeah,
that was always frustrating to me, is, you know, the guys, you know, the guys reenacting whatever just for the camera. And I always kind of felt that was a downer, as opposed to, it's okay to shoot over his shoulder. Like, just know, he's, you know, the cameraman's always going to be behind the hunter. That's just the way it is. So
yeah.
That's how our stuff is shot. There's no second takes. I told that to the guys. I wanted it to be as clean and as real as we could get in the hunting world. And sometimes we can't even get the cameraman in there tight enough. And so you'll just see, you know, a guy pull back his bow, and the suspense of whatever happens and the shot happens. And we're okay with that. That's just that's kind of our thing, is we want to be as real as we can.
I like that. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. And there, a show that I like a lot that's on YouTube is like Born and Raised Outdoors. I like those guys a lot. They kind of have that same concept to their show, and I just find it more raw and enjoyable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, those guys are awesome. I love their show, where I think they hunt like 5 states in a row, and they like elk hunt them all like right at, you know, each state right after the other, all the way through the elk rut.
Yeah, isn't that like Land of the Free or something like that? That's like the series.
Yeah. I think it's the same dude, a spinoff or something, but those dudes are sweet. Those guys are awesome.
They're cool, man. I'd like to, that's one group of guys we have not interviewed that I'd like to get on the show someday. So pretty cool, man.
I was thinking of reaching out to Corey Jacobson and have him go against Jason Phelps and have like the two master callers head to head in an elk matchup one time.
I'm sure you could get a lot of, I mean, maybe. I'm sure you could get a lot of guys that.
There's so many different possibilities where you can take this show.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we get a rivalry podcast from you guys. You know? Like, who's the rivalry? Maybe we get Matt out. Maybe we go Working Class versus Matt.
Oh, shit. I like that.
For whitetails in the real world, with no crossbow?
Pretty much any animal. We'll go
without
ahead.
Without a crossbow, we're good.
Yeah, then we can fight at the end. And that takes all. Just beat his ass.
He gets a bigger buck, but you whooped his ass.
Hey, depends how fast I can get him, you know? It's like, I know I can. We have a drinking competition, then we'll fist fight. I'm kidding. I'm
welcome to the real world, bitch.
Where's your daddy? Or just say, who's your daddy?
Where's your high fence at?
It's fucked up. No, I mean, that's a thing. We could do that. You know, that'd be fun.
Set it up.
Especially get a bunch of Midwest podcast guys and get hot elk hunting. It's just a complete train wreck.
Oh, yeah.
But we got some.
That would be hilarious. That was, it's funny. One of our teams is from Alabama, and the elk hunt took place at like 6,500 feet. I mean, I live at 64 here in Utah, and one of the teams got altitude sickness.
Dude, that's a real thing, man. Like, I've been elk hunting, and we've been to Wyoming bear hunting, and just like walking up little hills, like especially, it's just you feel it more. Like I remember us walking up hills, and I'm like, man, I'm winded.
Flatlanders.
Yeah, we're just flatland dudes.
There was two oversights in season one that we'll correct in season two. Number one was that I need to make sure the guys understand, like, hey, you're going to have to acclimate to, you know, that type of height. And number two, we had the same cameraman and we had back-to-back weeks. So our cameraman went about 65 miles hiked in the first week of elk camp. And then we had one day of rest and flew in. And then obviously the next group showed up with fresh legs, excited for the competition, same cameraman, and had to go again for 60 plus miles.
Oh, man, that's rough.
So it just rough. It buried those guys. So we're going to have to figure something out to bring in, you know, extra cameramen. But, I mean, my cameramen were absolute champs. They were awesome. So we'll have to – those are the two oversights. But everything else went really good. And I'll be honest with you guys, we don't tag out on every episode. Like, that's one cool thing. Like, some of the matchups do go to shootouts, and I like that.
Yeah, that's just realistic, you know. It's actually how it is, which is cool, man. I think – I don't know if that really matters as much anymore, you know, on a hunting show.
Yeah.
As long as it's honest, you know.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. Good entertainment and honest, and that's what this will be. And we need a ton of applications so that we can have a bunch of different, you know, personalities out there. And that's kind of what we're shooting for, is just making sure that we get a great group of different personalities hunting.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That makes perfect sense. And yeah, I love it, man. I love the concept.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Anything we missed?
No, I mean, you can catch us. I would just put a plug in. We need as many and as anybody who wants to catch the episodes first, they will go on YouTube. So Hunt Wars TV, go subscribe to our YouTube page. That would be a main thing. Our Instagram is Hunt Wars, and it's always with a Z. I own both S and Z, like domains, Hunt Wars with an S, but we decided to make it a little bit different. So it's Hunt Wars with a Z, and that's our Instagram. That's our YouTube. So go subscribe there so that, you know, you'll get notifications when our episodes drop. Other than awesome. That, I mean, I'm just excited to pick out some working class bow hunter dudes for season two.
I'm sure you get a few applicants, man, and 100 bones with all that stuff.
We're going to have some listeners applying for sure.
Yeah, I think so. And I might apply also as well. Yeah, man, I think it's great. I love it. Thanks for taking the time to do the show. And you guys got any questions before we close out?
No, I'm good.
You said you're going to air on Carbon TV as well?
Yep, Carbon TV and Amazon Prime, all three of those platforms. So you'll see episodes on all three of them.
Very cool.
Awesome. Very cool. I'm looking forward to it, man. This is I'll be looking forward to the drop because I'm going to definitely be trying to follow along on this. So
yeah.
So awesome, sure, man. Love the ideas. Appreciate your time. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Go shoot your bow.
Thank you.
We love you.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.